Welcome to El Paso Primetime. Information for everyone, especially those who live in the third age.
This is the town and these are the people. This is the town where the people all stay. This is the town and these are the people. That's the way they wanted it. That's the way it's going to stay.
Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime, and in-house, man, have we got you covered on all kinds of information about LGBTQI. We've got PFLA, we have Pathfinder, we've got El Paso Playhouse. We're going to talk about this enormous fundraising projects. Let me start by introducing everybody around the table. Benjamin Reyes, Veronica Garcia. Veronica, where are you from?
I'm with the Out Fund, Paso del Norte Out Fund.
Thank you very much. And then Victoria Rodriguez and Sunny Ibarra, they're both from Pathfinder. Alexander Wright is from El Paso Playhouse. Everybody, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Let's talk about the fundraiser itself. I mean, this is something that to me is not only monumental, but it's also something that El Paso really needs in order to not only enlighten, but entertain and kind of get hip to what's really going on. So whoever wants to start, go for it.
Well, The Normal Heart is a play that centers around advocacy for AIDS when it first surfaced into our society and started taking the lives of many gay people in New York in the 1980s. It was written by Larry Kramer. And it has been a phenomenal play that has resounded throughout the years and recently was revived in 2011 and won the Tony for Best Revival of a Play. And it was updated to reflect what was going on still in our time. And it's wonderful. It's a strong play, and the activism in it is very prominent and well-grounded.
2015 seems to be the year where everybody now is getting hip to anything and everything that has to be about LGBTQI, how to work it into mainstream. And that includes the media having an awareness of what goes on inside LGBTQI and making sure that mainstream understands that it's not an isolated colony. LGBTQI lives in everybody's family.
Yes, it does. Sunny and myself, we're from Pathfinder Transitional Center. We're actually a new nonprofit agency that is centered around assisting at-risk and homeless LGBTQIA youth from getting them to a safe place, getting them off the streets, and helping them connect with supportive services to help them transition into productive lives, you know, in their young adulthood. Unfortunately, like you said, it seems like 2015 seems to be the year that people are now becoming aware of the magnitude of the problems that are in the LGBTQIA community. 40% of all homeless youth on the streets right now identify as LGBTQIA. And that's the ones that are willing to disclose, because not all of them are willing. So
to paint the picture, I guess, one out of every four of the children that come out are kicked out. So that's a huge number. And again, statistics aren't concrete because a lot of the kids don't feel safe, you know, coming out as gay to any of the social services out there because they don't have a safe place to be. And I think that as of now, we have dealt with, you know, marriage equality, extremely important. Talking about transphobia and what being transgender is, another topic that's important. But I think homelessness in the LGBT community is a topic that isn't touched as much, and it's very real. And I think being in a border community like El Paso, the weather's beautiful. So it attracts a lot of people from all around the country to come and call El Paso home. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to, you know, address that issue.
And again, as I'd mentioned before, Veronica Garcia is in the house. Let's go ahead and talk about the event itself.
So the event is a benefit performance of The Normal Heart. And it represents a tremendous partnership across LGBTQ advocacy organizations in this community. So we are four organizations, including El Paso Playhouse, that have come together to put on this benefit performance of The Normal Heart. And we do that in the spirit of taking the opportunity to frame the conversation around LGBTQ issues in our community. I think through our partnership, we also address the importance of cross-issue organizing in the context of wins and progress in terms of advancing social justice for LGBTQ communities. So I specifically am here representing the Paso del Norte Out Fund in this partnership today. And we are very, very excited to get to be participating in this event. The Paso del Norte Out Fund is also a newer entity here in El Paso, and we are very specifically focused on developing the leadership capacity among LGBTQ community and allies as well. And so I think that I feel particularly honored to be participating in this event because every organization at the table represents a community that has had to do just that, to take an issue of significant importance and to really take initiative around framing that issue for access to the most equitable existence here in our community.
It's hard to believe that it's 46 years after Stonewall and we're still having to deal with equality, you know, equal rights all the way around the board. It's hard to believe also that Texas is one of 29 states where you can lose your job just because somebody says, oh, you're gay? Wait, you're trans? Oh, you know what? Your contract is over. And that's sad. That's really depressing.
You know, and so I didn't even have a chance to tell you a little bit about what the Out Fund does.
Yeah,
and
please
so,
do.
One of the things that we represent around framing the conversation is that we want to make our lives visible. We want people to understand that we are your brothers, we are your sisters, we are your neighbors, we are your daughters, your sons, and that there are so many of us out there that it's imperative that we become visible and engaged participants in our community. And to that extent, Benji is actually here representing PFLAG.
Right.
And PFLAG is an advocacy organization. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit more about PFLAG?
Okay. Well, PFLAG, before it used to stand for Parents, Friends of Lesbians and Gays, the national organization decided to go ahead and just short it down to PFLAG, because, of course, more people know that moniker rather than their extended name. For the most part, PFLAG started out as a support group, basically wanting to help out others understand what it meant to have a gay child or growing up as gay, lesbian, bi, or transgendered within a community that wasn't accepting. Over the years, of course, PFLAG also grew in purpose, just as the organization grew. Basically transformed from just being support to also including advocacy and education. So PFLAG is more than just, okay, we're going to be here and offer you support. We're going to go ahead and also let you learn about what it is to be LGBTQIA. We also want to go ahead and advocate for you and step in for you if we need to in various ways. For instance, within the El Paso chapter, when it was founded about 20 years ago, it was mainly a support group. Only recently have we become more involved with advocacy and education, working not only with our other LGBTQIA organizations such as Pathfinder and OutFund, but also working within the communities. For instance, there's a project called Safe Schools that PFLAG has gotten involved in because we want to make sure that there's also safety within our school systems. Because even though growing up in El Paso, even though there can be a little bit more of a liberal mindset, there's still a lot of people who are very antagonistic towards someone who's gay or who's lesbian, who's transgendered. I used to be a former teacher and I saw it firsthand. So for me, it was very personal when I received people bullying other kids just because they were LGBTQ. So PFLAG basically comes in now, basically going in and intervening and hopefully educating and providing the resources that may not be available, especially like, for instance, since in Texas, a lot of things are not available for people who are LGBTQ. And that's a problem as well, because if they don't have the resources, then we can't really teach. And so PFLAG El Paso has again become more proactive in offering those educational services and offering that advocacy for the people here, because there's still going to be issues and instances where things come up and no one's there to actually show any kind of protection or support. And it's still much needed even now. I mean, a few years ago, we went into one of the local high schools because a teacher said a derogatory slur to one of her students. So they require that all the teachers receive in-service training on basically sensitivity towards people who are LGBTQIA. So it's very important that we continue to do this, because even within our own community, we're still seeing that there are people who are antagonistic, who are very much resistant or reserved towards those issues. Some of us may be living it within our own families. Some of us may be even experiencing it even at our job or elsewhere. And so it's very important that we still are able to create education and advocate for everyone, not only for our own community, but for the community at large, to understand that all of us are deserving of equal treatment and respect, regardless of how we identify.
Absolutely. You know, the bottom line to doing shows like this is to illuminate the public to every facet of life in El Paso. And one of the things that happens when you have something like this on public radio is you open up the dialogue in places where the dialogue never would have been. And we're all adults here, so I'm going to put this out here as well. We talked about the homelessness in the LGBTQI community in youth, but there's also on the other side of that the senior population who can't come out for some reason or another, who are also homeless, who are LGBTQI, and not only have the stigma of being LGBTQI, but also homeless. And so now the double whammy is, how does that person get help?
Well, I think that is just homelessness, period, is obviously an issue that we share across the board, you know.
Right.
But I think a good model to follow would be like L.A. L.A. has an amazing facility where they have services for not only the younger kids, but also they have, I guess, like their silver level, you could say,
mm-hmm.
Where they have programs geared exclusively to, you know, the older population, everything from, you know, gardening and extracurricular to a place to be. And ideally, that's the goal. I mean, provide services to everybody. But unfortunately, because the need is so great, we're at the point where we have to choose what we're going to tackle first. But I completely agree with you. I mean, the need is out there. I mean, you have people who are homeless living, you know, with a positive status, who are HIV, I mean, LGBT. Mm-hmm. And then you have, you know, the younger generation living the same problem.
Sure.
I think that the reason why we feel such an urgency to help the younger generation is because they are so young. They have nobody. And so the fact that they have to look towards risky behaviors just to sustain who they are and not have that opportunity of knowing what a loving and safe environment is what gears Pathfinders. But again, I completely agree that the need is much greater than just one small group.
Sure, absolutely. And which brings us all back to the fundraiser itself. The reason why the fundraiser is happening is to raise awareness. It's not only just about HIV and AIDS and the epidemic and to put the spotlight on how that has manifested itself over the years, but it's also to bring it back into the community itself. And El Paso Playhouse has always been on the cutting edge in this community to present some provocative plays in order to open eyes. And again, you're doing it again.
We do provocative plays, but this is the first time we've done an LGBTQ production that has really upped the ante on what we want to start doing with more of our shows. We've done the Temperamentals before, and that was the first show that we ever did that was LGBTQ. And then after that, it didn't do so well as to its name, and it was controversial for some of our patrons because it's not something we're used to doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was approached by Beverly Cotton, who's associated with PFLAG, and she asked to put on a fundraiser. And we had nothing in the summer going on, and so I was like, sure, I'll bring it up to the board and let's go ahead and do something. And I heard about the Normal Heart, and I had read it a couple years ago. So I reread it, and I was like, I mean, this speaks volumes even now to this day. And it's amazing how it an issue like that can continuously just grow and grow and grow to the point where someone will write about it and raise the awareness that it's attracted mm-hmm. from all over the world with this play. So I proposed it and the board was like, let's do this. Let's do this. I mean, PFLAG has always been at the forefront of our support for the Playhouse. So what better way than to give back not only to them but to our community and to be able to open this up to different organizations who are at the forefront of the LGBTQ groups and organizations to raise awareness for every and all situations that we go through.
So how do we get tickets?
You can actually purchase them with PFLAG, I believe they have.
You can purchase them. Basically, all the three organizations have their own number of tickets that you can go through any one of us, Pathfinder, OutFund, as well as PFLAG. there is a Facebook event for it, so you can actually go through there and with the proper contact information as far as an email or telephone number if you don't know any of the representatives from their respective organizations. I do know that a lot of the tickets have already have been sold, so there are very few selected numbers. We only had 100 seats to sell, and they've been selling very, very quickly. So we are very happy about that. But we do still have a few more tickets left to sell, so if you are interested, I would believe, as far as for PFLAG, if you don't know one of our representatives that are on PFLAG, PFLAGElPaso @gmail.com. would be one of the best ways to email us, and so we can go ahead and get tickets to you. As far as the other contact information, I'll leave it up to the other representatives.
Well, we've had just a tremendous response from the community, and I've really challenged all people that I know as allies of the community, which I'm an ally. I've already challenged them to really think about how they are as an ally. It's one thing to be supportive, but it's another thing to be an activist, an advocate, and stand on the side with the LGBTQ community. But for Pathfinder, you can reach us at pathfindertlc@yahoo.com. Email us there with the correct contact information so that we can let you know about how many tickets we have. Or you can contact us on our Facebook page. And let us know. And please, like I said, Pathfinder is a new agency. So please like us on Facebook. Help us grow because there is a big youth homelessness problem here. And we're really just trying to start chipping away at it a little at a time.
I agree.
You can purchase tickets with the El Paso Playhouse at 915-532-1317. Or email us at elpasoplayhouse@sbcglobal.net. Hearing that lots of tickets have been sold for the charity night on the 25th, we also have a normal Playhouse run for one weekend only, which is June 26th through the 28th. They can make reservations there Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m.
And if you'd like to contact Paso del Norte OutFund to get your tickets, we are online at www.pdn-outfund.org. You can also give me a call at 915-309-0547, Veronica Garcia with Paso del Norte OutFund. We have a Facebook page as well, so you can find us on Facebook, and please like our page. And I would just encourage everyone who's listening to come out and support your community organization, support community solutions to community issues.
To add to that, the Playhouse also has a Facebook page at El Paso Playhouse, and the Normal Heart also has a Facebook page. You just search for Normal Heart.
Cool deal. So here's how it is, as it always is to all of my guests, whoever comes in through the doors and says, I have an event. Well, here is how it is again, mi casa, su casa. So anytime you have anything to talk about anything, or if you just want to come in and gab and, you know, have a cough and a crawler, we're good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Very
Thank
nice. You. We've been talking to Alexander Wright, Sunny Ibarra, Victoria Rodriguez, Veronica Garcia, and Benjamin Reyes. This is a real important event, and I'm encouraging all of you to come to our Facebook page and check out all of the information you're going to need in order to pick up tickets for this incredible event. It's a fundraiser and it's a very important one. El Paso Primetime returns in just a moment. On this edition of El Paso Primetime, we're joined by Dr. Doug Aspros. He's with the American Veterinary Medical Association. Welcome, Doctor, to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you very much.
Doc, I first heard and read about the topic of canine influenza about 3 months ago, and the cases started cropping up in Minneapolis, and since that time, it seems like it's spread down to Texas. Now, we live at the far west corner of Texas, right underneath New Mexico. Should we be concerned?
Well, everywhere in the country, I think, has relative concerns about canine flu, because this new canine flu is going to wind up being everywhere in the country. Sooner or later, it's probably going to be a background disease that we're going to deal with, just as we dealt with the previous outbreak of canine flu from 2004. You know, up until 2004, dogs didn't get any kind of influenza virus. You know, people do. You know, pigs do, poultry do, but dogs had no flu virus until one jumped over from equine influenza and affected racing greyhounds in Florida. And that vaccine, that virus, spread slowly around the country, first up the East Coast and then across the rest of the U.S. We developed a good vaccine for that virus, so the dogs can be protected. This new virus, of course, started in Asia, spread to Chicago, and then from there has spread around the country the way dogs and people, of course, move around the country.
Well, let me go ahead and ask you, what exactly is canine influenza?
So if you don't have a dog, you probably wouldn't, because it's a disease that is problematic but not terribly problematic. So it's not a disease of death. In general, the way that rabies is, or even canine distemper or parvovirus.
Where are the hotspots in the country that we should actually be concerned about?
Well, of course, they change over time. So I would have your listeners check out the Cornell University's website. They've done a good job of compiling every week the communities where they've got positive cases. The company IDEX, which has developed just in the past month or so a rapid office test, also publishes a map every week so you can see where the cases are. Up until now, although there have been sporadic cases around the country, they really have been the most positive cases that have been actually diagnosed as this particular flu virus have been in and around Chicago. But as you said, you know, you're in a community where people move in and out all the time, and that's how these viruses get distributed around the country and around the world. Is not so much that dogs travel; it's that people travel, and when we travel, our dogs travel with us.
Absolutely. So, the question that I have in my mind is what are the symptoms? What am I looking for?
So, flu symptoms in dogs look much like flu symptoms in people. And that means, you know, you don't feel great. You know, for dogs, that's a lethargy. You may be off on your appetite. And, of course, dogs love eating. So your dog is not eating normally. Every reason to be concerned. But then the rest of the signs, runny eyes, runny nose, coughing, and fever. And sometimes even for dogs, the fever can be fairly high. Are all the signs of influenza, but not very specific for influenza either. And any of those signs occur in your dog, I think your first thought should be, I need to see my vet, rather than, oh my goodness, my dog has flu. Mm-hmm. So see your vet and let them make a decision about what they think your dog has, whether or not a specific test is going to be helpful, because the treatments are going to be very symptomatic. So if you have a fever, that is going to prescribe something to help decrease the fever. If your dog isn't eating well and is getting dehydrated, fluids may be appropriate. If there's a secondary bacterial infection, and of course pneumonia is one of the most serious complications that can occur with flu, antibiotics may be appropriate there.
I guess my last question would be regarding prevention and whatnot. You know how we often tell other humans that you should have orange juice, you should be drinking this, you should be eating healthy and whatnot. For canines, it's kind of hard to give them orange juice, but is there anything that is in that system where you might be able to stave this off?
Well, you want to do pretty much the same things we do for ourselves, which is stay healthy. And staying healthy is about eating right. It's about exercising. It's about immunizing yourself against the diseases that you can, that we have good, effective vaccines for. You know, for dogs, that includes things like parvovirus and canine distemper and rabies. But if your dog does go to daycare and you want to protect them against the common respiratory illnesses, parainfluenza, canine flu, the diseases that we tend to term kennel coughs, because that's where you get exposed. So good healthy living and good preventive care, you know, is really the way to go. Unfortunately, no orange juice. Dogs pretty much wouldn't like the orange juice anyway, and not a lot of evidence that says that it's helpful even for people.
No kidding. Is there a website where I can send our listeners to check stuff out on the canine influenza and other things that are going on for their little four-footed friends?
Yeah, there sure is. ADMA.org, that's the American Veterinary Medical Association, ADMA.org. Has a lot of great information for pet owners, and on the homepage you'll have a link to the canine flu epidemic, so that you can follow and track what's the latest in the country.
Great. Dr. Esperos, thank you so much for spending some time with us and actually shedding some light on what seemed to be something rather mysterious, and what it's turning out to be, as I see it, it's something serious to be looking out for, but it's nothing that's quite frankly preventable at this point, other than taking care of your pet as your pet takes care of you, right?
Absolutely. Yep. Common sense. Not a bad thing.
There you go. Dr. Esperos, thank you so much for joining us on El Paso Primetime. Be well, stay safe. As we say down here, mi casa, su casa. So anytime that there's something breaking around the country that comes into this region, we'd love to have you back on the show.
Be happy to come back. I love El Paso. I was down there a couple of years ago, and it's great to meet
you. Great. Thank you so much. The website that Dr. Doug Esperos referred listeners to is AVMA.org, the home site to the American Veterinary Medical Association, where you may see the outbreaks around the nation should you be traveling. And the play The Normal Heart opens this Thursday evening at the El Paso Playhouse with a fundraiser that benefits PFLAG, El Paso, Pathfinder Transitional Center, and Paso del Norte Out Fund. Information is on the PFLAG El Paso Facebook page, and soon on our Facebook page, and along with that, on our website, ktep.org. Deidre Westenhauser is our executive producer to El Paso Primetime. She also recorded the segments and also had help editing this time around with Linda and Denise McAllister from the University of Oklahoma. Thank you so much for listening. Have a happy Father's Day weekend, and we'll do this again for the next edition of El Paso Primetime.